Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today. Looking forward to this broadcast together. As we face the issues, we invite you to join in by your dialogue and discussion. Your input, your questions, your comments are all welcomed as we do this broadcast each day. Let me remind you that telephone number is 9831-0917, 831-0917. Is the telephone number, that phone number, that phone call. Get your call right through to the studios and right to our microphone so that we can have dialogue and discussion together. Looking forward to that opportunity today. Let me remind you, ladies and gentlemen, we've met you on the air. We've had the privilege of speaking month after month and week after week, day after day for so long. We've had the joy of meeting you by way of radio. We'd love to have you worship with us any Sunday. This Sunday, we have Bible study, Sunday school at 9:30, morning worship service at 10:45, evening worship service at 7 o'clock. First Conservative Baptist Church is located precisely, exactly 1 mile south of I-295 and approximately 3 1/4 miles north of I-95 intersection of Old St. Augustine Road, right here in the heart of Mandarin, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road. If you're looking for a church home or if you're looking for a place where you could find a seat at the table, as the old cliche would go, where you can participate and be a part of the fellowship of believers. If you're looking for a church where the word is preached without fear or favor, if you're looking for a church where the gospel singing are songs that you can hear the words that praise and honor the Lordship of Jesus Christ, then this is the home for you. If you're looking for a place where you could come and participate so you can study the Word of God and learn the Word, we'd love to have you join with us, even if it's for a visit. Let's say you're in your own church. That's wonderful. Come visit with us one Sunday, see what God is doing here, and see how you can pray for us as we continue to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let me remind you also, ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time, an outdoor power equipment dealership specializing in turnkey business packages for individuals looking for their own landscape and lawn care business. Tools for Time carries equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the hurricane preparedness equipment. They have a full line of Honda generators, and the team and staff that's knowledgeable of hurricane preparedness and can give you answers and answer to all of your questions, reference to backup equipment, etc. Tools for Time, located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's at the intersection of Old St. Augustine Road and I-295, the place where the giant flag flies over the business, the United States flag flying Old Glory, there at Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. You can look them up, ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. Jesus said to his disciples, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And then in John 17:17, Jesus makes a declaratory statement as to what is truth. He said, "Thy word is truth." And so, ladies and gentlemen, I can commend to you the book of truth, the Bible. It is the inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God that gives us the direction for life, answers all of the questions for living, and I commend that book to you. It's called the Bible. We're going to be talking about today, ladies and gentlemen. It's in question form. What is the church? I have with me today Dr. Neil Phelps. Dr. Phelps is one of the professors in Conservative Theological University. We have the privilege of sharing the truth of the gospel with you by way of radio. We're going to be talking about the truth of the church. What is the church? Why the church? Who is a member of the church? Why should we have fellowship? Why should we attend church? What are the rationale and reason behind the church? Ladies and gentlemen, I say that because I'm so passionate about what I'm finding in society today that mitigates against the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have today so many things that vie for the attention of society. But listen very carefully, and perhaps this touches on some of the places where you find in your life that's so difficult to make allow you to worship in a combined fashion with other believers in a local New Testament church. We have all kinds of sports events. We have all kinds of water sports. We have football, baseball, basketball. We have all of these things that so grab our attention that so often it is difficult for families, especially families with kids and teenagers, always wanting to do something to excite the kids, do something to keep the kids involved in sports, et cetera, et cetera. But the question is, are you so busy that you cannot worship? Recently, I read an article. The article says, too busy for church. There's an app for that. And this particular article talked about a couple out in Texas, and they said they'd searched for a church for several years. I think they said 2 years, and could not find one that could please them. But then they were introduced by a friend to a church app. That's the church app. It's an application that goes on your telephone, iPhone, iPad, etc. They discovered a church app that they could, quote, put the pulpit and the pews in the pockets and the palms. Now, I don't know if you caught that or not, but the mindset is that you can worship by way of an iPhone or an iPad or a handheld device or a PC. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that's the furthest thing from any potentiality of called worship in the Word of God. But yet that is the fast-paced world in which we're living in today, that multitudes fall into that category. Perhaps you've said yourself, I'm too busy, I'm too tired, or whatever the case may be. We can always find an excuse for not doing that which we know we ought to do more often than not. Just what is the church? Is the church a building? Is it a place? Is it a denomination? Or is it a telephone app, an iPad, or an iPhone app? The church is made up of believers, those who, as I put it, are called out, sold out, surrendered out to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Jesus said that he was going to build his church. In fact, in Matthew 16:18, Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. In the book of Acts, after the birth of the church, the Bible says that the Lord added to the church daily those that should be saved, in Acts 2:47. In fact, I was just talking with Dr. Phelps a moment ago before we came on the air, and in the review and the study of the word church, my bride had done, she does word study. When she does a word study, she's studying on a particular subject. She looks up how many times that word is mentioned in the Bible, which is an expert, genius way to study. And she discovered that there's a word church from Acts chapter 2, I believe it is, where the church is birthed. Yes, Acts chapter 2 through Revelation chapter 3, verse 14, the church is mentioned 77 times. Now, there's nothing genius or magical about that number, just telling you that. But from the rapture of the church, you don't find anything, the mention of the name church in Revelation after Revelation chapter 4, verse 1. Come up hither, the rapture of the church indicated there. You won't find the name of the word church for the balance of the book of the Revelation. But ladies and gentlemen, the point that I'm talking about today is the church, the bride of Christ, the body of Christ. Dr. Phelps, in the first century church, they were anxious to worship together, to sing praises to the Lord together, to study the Word of God together, and to go out then and reach others with the Word of God. But today, we find multitudes of excuses for not attending church, for not going to church. I find it almost sad, but almost unbelievable, Dr. Phelps, that multitudes that say they're saved will say they don't have time to go to church, or that they might not find the right church. I've researched, and according to the Barna Report, And Barna Report is the research mechanism for researching religion in America, and they've been doing that for many, many, many years. I find it refreshing, exciting, challenging, and pretty accurate when you study the Barna Reports, and I look at all of them as they come out. The Barna Report surveyed a number of different people. I've forgotten the number of people, but it was a massive survey of different people, and they asked them why they were not worshiping in a local New Testament church. There were about 20 or 30, I think, the total of 20 responses. I just picked the top eight. Why their excuses for not worshiping. Number one, they prefer to worship on their own and not in a combined fashion. 44% said you prefer to worship on your own, 44%. Number two, you don't like organized religion, 36%. I don't like organized religion either, Dr. Phelps. I like to worship in a church where you have a body of believers, Christians. Number three, they said you aren't very religious, 33%. Number four, you haven't found a church that you like yet. Maybe you've said that, I don't know, 33%. You don't have time to worship, 28%. You aren't sure what religion is right for you, 23%. That's almost an oxymoron, Dr. Phelps. You aren't sure what religion is right for you. I don't know. There's thousands and thousands of religions. Christianity is not a religion. The church, the bride of Christ, is not a religion. Number seven, you don't like being asked for money. 16% said that. You don't feel welcome when you attend. 29% said that. So, ladies and gentlemen, what's your excuse? Why aren't you in church? Perhaps you would like to dial that telephone number, 831-0917, and tell me why you're not in church. What is your excuse for not being in church? What is the reason? The scripture is very, very clear that we're not to forsake ourselves, not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the heathens do, Hebrews 10:25. In Acts 11:26, the scripture says, and when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that the whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. So at the time, ladies and gentlemen, that was found in the 10th chapter of Acts, by the way, at the time, the 11th chapter, at the time that took place, calling them Christians was making fun. It was a demeaning term to call Christian. And today in the society in which we're living, it's almost a full circle back to that, where there's that mindset today that if you're a Christian, you're a little dummy. There's something wrong with you. You just are not up to par. You're just not hip. You just don't know what you're talking about. And I find that, whether it is explicit or subtle, in so much of what we find in society today. The first thing, Dr. Phelps, that I tell people in relationship to the church is the first thing is to be saved. Say yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. To know that your sins are remitted, your sins are forgiven, your sins are covered. And then to follow the Lord Jesus Christ in believers' baptism and worship and fellowship with like believers. Now, perhaps you're listening today and you say, I'm saved. My question is, does your life show it? I'm saved. Do you find yourself involved in the study of the Word of God? Do you find yourself with a passion for learning the Scripture? Do you find yourself in a position of wanting to join with like believers, or some way, somehow, being isolated from others that are saved? The Barna Report also reveals the massive decline in church attendance in the past 20 years. I say 20 years, 20 years or so. I think they used a gliding schematic for that. Yet we find church attendance higher in some cities than in other cities. I find it fascinating, ladies and gentlemen. Dr. Phelps, I am fascinated by this. Church attendance trends around the country. It says, based on the Barna Report's most recent data, almost 4 in 10, that's 38% of Americans, are active churchgoers. Slightly more, 43% are unchurched, and around one-third, 34% are de-churched, that is, they've left the church. But I find it fascinating, ladies and gentlemen, the most churched cities in America, the cities with the highest attendance rate in churches. Chattanooga, Tennessee, 59%. Salt Lake City, Utah, 59%. Augusta, Georgia, and Aiken, South Carolina. Augusta, Aiken, which is just across the Savannah River, joining, if you will, 57%. Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 57%. Birmingham, Anniston, and Tuscaloosa, Alabama, 56%. So, Dr. Phelps, I find that for the most part, the southern states and some of the major cities in these southern states, notwithstanding they mentioned Salt Lake City, of course, I believe the preponderance of that worship that would be there would be coming out of the Mormon church and the Mormon believers and the temple there. But I find it fascinating that the highest number of those going to churches are in cities in the southeast, called, better known as the Bible Belt. And ladies and gentlemen, here's another statistic. The top five cities for the most unchurched. The top five cities for the most unchurched. You say, well, what does that mean, unchurched? Those that are not in church, those that are not attending church, those that are not going to church. San Francisco, Oakland, and San Jose, California, 60% unchurched. Reno, Nevada, 59%. Springfield, Massachusetts, 57%. Boston and Manchester, Massachusetts, 56%. Las Vegas, Nevada, 55%. And you'll find in the reason these statistics are so interesting to me is that you'll find in the cities where you have the largest number of the glitz, the glitter, the show and the shine, and the go and the grow, you will find a higher number of unchurched people. Because, ladies and gentlemen, it is the human trait to want to find that which is pleasant, that which pleases, that which entertains, and that is the problem in American society today. So, Dr. Phelps, you've heard those statements. Tell us biblically why it's so vital for Christians to attend church and worship together. Why is it vital? What is the need for that, Dr. Phelps?
Well, one of the things that I learned from the scriptures is that the church is the place where you would expect to find the truth to be taught. The Word of God tells us in 1 Timothy chapter 3, Paul was speaking to young Timothy, and he was encouraging him then in the things of the Lord. And while Timothy was waiting for the Apostle Paul to join him as he was ministering to the several churches that had been formed, Paul says, "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth." The last part of that verse tells me that the church is the place where you would expect to find the truth taught. And truth is a very important thing in the life of a Christian. We begin by believing the truth, being born again.
Yes.
And we begin to grow spiritually. And church is a place where we can grow in our Christian life and have fellowship with others, where we can hear the truth of God and be grounded in our faith so that we'll not be caught up in cults and various other kinds of teachings contrary to the truth. The place of truth, the church is a place where we can hear the Word of God preached. And that's true of most of our churches.
Yes, Dr. Phelps, that's the reason that I find it so antithetical to biblical truth and antithetical to the purpose of the church, where so many today, and I've not brought in the millennial aspect into the dialogue and discussion thus far, but so many of the 18 to 35-year-old age group, the millennials, in fact, out of the millennials today, 47%, according to the Barna Report, are looking for entertainment. Nothing is said in the millennials in their survey about what they're looking for, about looking for truth, about looking for the gospel, not looking to be taught the Word of God, but looking for entertainment. I find that sad in the realization that that is the age group that is more and more getting in control of all of the leadership reins, spiritual leadership, political leadership, societal leadership in our nation today, and yet the overwhelming number, 47%, almost half of them, that are not interested in learning the Word of God. In fact, Dr. Phelps, I've had the privilege probably in the past 50 years of interviewing perhaps as many as 100, not mega, not major, perhaps as many as 100 people, and ask them, what are you looking for in a church? What causes you to go to the church that you go to? And there's several reasons, we'll talk about them later in this broadcast, that the Barna Report revealed. But I have yet to have one, tell me that they're going to that church, a particular church, to learn the Word of God, to learn the Scripture, to know what the Word of God says, to be able to memorize Scripture and inculcate Scripture, and to know what our 66 books that we call the Bible, to know what that's about. The overwhelming number one statement when I've asked those questions in what I call just loose investigation, that is not for a formality of research and writing from that standpoint, but just for research in general of asking, why do you go to church? What are you looking for? The overwhelming majority will say they want a place for their children to be. They want a place where their child will be taken care of. They want a place where there's a good nursery. They want a place where their child can be entertained, et cetera, et cetera. Or they're looking for a church where there's a, quote, dynamic music program. Either one of the answers, Dr. Phelps, I've found, is antithetical to what the Scripture talks about the church. I've always said the church is threefold: to exalt the Savior, to equip the saints, and to evangelize the sinner. Those are very succinctly the three major purposes as I study, research, and analyze the Scripture. Those are the three major purposes for the church. So, Dr. Phelps, would you share with our listeners today God's master plan for His church? What is the master plan? As we look at building a building, we look at the master plan. As we look at even with cities across the nation, they have a master plan for their zoning and for the development of the cities and the counties. It is a hodgepodge and harry-carry unless there's a master plan. God has a master plan for His church. Share with our listeners today. Take some time going into as much detail as necessary of sharing with our listeners God's master plan for His church today.
Well, one of the things that we need to know is the age in which we're living. We believe that we're living in a certain age or dispensation. It's called the church age. It began with Pentecost and will end when Jesus returns for us. It's called the grace of God by the Apostle Paul. Paul spoke of that in the book of Ephesians when he wrote concerning the mystery of the church that he had been called to proclaim the gospel and win people and add to the church. So in Ephesians 3:8, he says, "Unto me," Paul speaking, "who am less than the least of the saints, is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ?" So in the dispensation of the grace of God to which Paul refers in Ephesians 3:8 is the church age in which we now live. Now, in this age of grace, we learn that God's administration of the things of God is entrusted to faithful stewards who are of the body of Christ, His church. And so as seen by reading Paul's epistle to the Ephesians, Paul's master plan was to form one body of all believers in Christ from every nationality. In order to accomplish that purpose, we must know that what God is doing then through the preaching of the gospel of Christ, He is calling us out together. Ephesians chapter 1 and 2 and 3 talk about how that we are called to God out of this world. And so through the gospel, we find that God calls us out. That means out of the world. The word church is the English translation of ekklesia. That was a Greek word for assembly. The church identifies those who are called out of the world by the gospel of Christ to a new fellowship with God. The church is a called out assembly. We're called by the gospel with a heavenly and holy calling. God calls us out of delusion to the truth. Ephesians 1:13 says, "In whom ye also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise." That's Ephesians 1:13. We're called out of delusion to the truth. We're called out of darkness to light. 1 Peter 2:9, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Now, both of those words, delusion and darkness, tell us where we are until we hear the gospel. That was true of me. I didn't know the truth as a young person. I was just walking in darkness. I didn't know where I was going. I was without the Lord. But one day I heard the gospel, and it was as a light shined into my innermost being. And God spoke to my heart, and God called me then to trust in Christ and to become a Christian. God calls us out of delusion to the truth, out of darkness to light, out of doubt to faith. In John chapter 6:29, Jesus answered those who were asking him about what they were to do that they might please God and do what God wants them to do. And Jesus said very clearly, "This is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent." John 6:29. We're called not only out of doubt to faith, but out of death to life. Before I was saved, you see, I didn't possess, I did not have this life eternal that God was promising. Here's what Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." And that means out of an unsaved condition to being saved, out of being dead spiritually to being alive spiritually, being born again. What Jesus was talking about there is an experience that each of us must have. We must be born again. Jesus talked about that with Nicodemus. Except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God.
Absolutely. So what we're saying is, ladies and gentlemen, that when we talk about the church and what is the church, first of all, we need to recognize that we need to be born again. That is, born from above. That is, having a new life. We're born physically, but there must be the second birth. That second birth is the spiritual birth, where we say yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord. That's the purpose of the church, ladies and gentlemen. The church is made up of those that are blood-bought, Bible-saved, born again. Those that are called out, those that are called for service and submission and surrender unto the Lordship of Jesus Christ. If you're saved today, the question is, are you in church? Are you involved? Are you actively serving Him? Are you studying the Word? Are you seeking to know the Lord Jesus Christ more intimately and more closely? We're going to take in just a moment. We've got about 30 seconds before we have a one-minute break for the news. Let me encourage you, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to take this few minutes for the news break. Then I want you to hang on. Stay in there. Don't turn the radio off. Come right back in just a moment and join with us. We're talking about the church. The purpose of the church is to exalt the Savior, equip the saints, and evangelize the sinners. Come right back after the news. Let's complete this discussion today on what is the church and who makes up the church of the Lord Jesus Christ.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.